Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience of owning them is a great one.
A new legacy in sound. JLab's new luxury over-ear headphones, seamlessly blending innovation and lab quality sound.
Over here at Fake Doctors Real Friends, we love our JLab Audio headphones. They feature over 70 hours of playtime, four different colorways to choose from, and three noise control modes. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card.
You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases,
and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn.
Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval terms. Apply.
Hey guys.
Hello.
Long time no see.
I know, for real. Feels like it's been a while.
Joelle, look at your fabulous glasses.
Thank you.
Aren't they great?
Fabulous.
Who makes that jacket, Zach?
That's a really cool jacket.
Who makes that jacket?
I put on a fit for y'all today. Now, my first question, I'll tell you.
Who makes the jacket?
Okay, don't yell at me. Jesus. Buck Mason,
oh,
everyone.
Hell yeah.
You need this jacket.
Buck Mason rules.
Now, here's my question. Do you guys think I can pull off the pink? I'm wearing a pink Pepto-Bismol-y sweatshirt, audience. I'm trying it out. What do we think?
You look great.
I love it. You look very T-Mobile.
Yeah.
Do you think, Joelle, if you saw a man or a woman that you were attracted to and they were wearing a pink color like this,
Hold up. You've already, you're so gaslighting right now. Joelle. If you saw a man that you were attracted to wearing a pink.
How am I gaslighting? I'm just asking. Okay, let me reframe. Let me
lead in the witness, baby.
Let me rephrase. Do you think men can pull off this color?
I do. I'd be glad to wear pink. I love to wear pink.
It would have been so great. How great would it have been if she was like, fuck no.
That would have been crazy.
You like it, Joelle.
I can. I'm trying to.
Of course. Pink is a lovely color. Flowers are pink. Mm-hmm. Lots of great things are pink, okay? Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful color. I don't know why people get weird about it.
It is weird that people get, like, I don't get it either. Like, I like pink. I remember I wore pink once, and it was a pink sweater. I thought it was a lovely pink polo sweater. And the reaction I got was like, whoa!
What year was it?
But it wasn't, it was like.
How long ago? She's asking, how long ago was it? Was it like.
It was well over, 16, 17, before.
I think we've evolved for the most part, hopefully.
See, I think pink maybe has evolved, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, we just came off Barbie.
Do you ever, I guess you can't forget Barbie. But I mean, like, my point is like, do you ever go buy something that you're like, this is so outside what I would normally wear, but I want to try it out. And then then you're kind of staring at it in your closet like, is today going to be the day I'm going to try it?
It's Gucci.
Dude, it's a bold
it's
thing.
The Gucci. That's the Gucci effect. Like so here's my issue. I buy clothes and then I don't wear them because I'm like, that's too nice. I cannot get this dirty. I cannot. You know what I mean? Like I have this phobia, right?
Right.
And so I was in Vegas with Zach.
Yeah.
And I might have made a little money on that blackjack table. And I said, with my winnings, I'm going to treat myself.
Yeah.
He spent some, and I got a little Gucci.
Ooh. Right.
And I put it on.
Oh.
And you won Gucci.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I was walking around Vegas of all places where, you get dirty real quick in Vegas with the Gucci on.
I think if you're going to rock Gucci, Vegas is probably the spot.
Definitely.
I didn't feel out of place, that's for sure.
You looked very handsome. I was with you. You looked good. Now, I've been seeing you do a lot of press, and you've been rocking those Gucci sneakers.
Yeah. So for Christmas.
Yeah. Ooh.
My best friend got me some Gucci kicks.
Aww.
Yeah. They look, because they looked good on you too, don't they?
I've been rocking them.
Do you get compliments on them?
Oh, absolutely. I've been actually, you know, here's the beautiful thing about Gucci. It always looks good. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I know Pharrell got something going on with Louis Vuitton right now. And, you know,
that's too hip for me. I can't rock that.
Andrew Panay, who rocks Louis Vuitton like nobody's business, and it looks great on him. But I kind of like Gucci. I'm not going to lie. Like, if anybody would have buy me gifts.
Oh, those glasses are Gucci, Joelle?
Yeah.
Joelle just pointed to her new dope glasses. How would you describe those? They're big and round. They're kind of like the fashionista in The Incredibles. She wears those.
Edna Mode. Yes, Edna Mode. These are Edna Mode glasses, 100%. I got them because of that. I love Edna.
They look really good on you.
Mm. Thank you.
Now, what about overalls? Because another one of my things that I bought was overalls, and I'm feeling like I'm not sure about them.
Okay, I have many, many questions. What color is the wash?
Good okay, call. They're sort of an olivey green.
Ooh.
Oh, this is much better. Okay, wow. New dress. Great.
Very into that.
They're long pants? What's the cut on them?
Do they make shorts, overall shorts?
They sure do, buddy. They sure do.
I did not wear an overall shorts.
Hold on. I was about to say, you're wearing lederhose?
No, I'm not wearing overall. Although I would love to see overall shorts. No, I guess now that you say lederhose, I can picture them. No, they look like, you know, you would not flinch if a painter was wearing them. Can I wear them to set or do I look like an idiot? I'm not sure, but I'm going to try.
I feel like directors, at least in all the behind the scenes I've seen, I'm like, either they're like in the crisp suits in your Nolan style, or like Bryce Dallas Howard looks like she's so cozy when she directs. Just like lots of heavy sweaters, like scarves. I feel like if you're like, I'm comfortable and I can move in this, people have to just respect that.
I feel like if you wear overalls, people are going to be like, maybe he works with props.
I think they'll know that I'm the director of the show. I mean, you know, I used to just roll up directing like in whatever the coziest thing was, but now I'm directing Shrinking lately. That's why we haven't. Well, Donald's working and I'm working. So
no,
sorry,
man. I've just been touring. You've been freaking.
Well, you've been doing press, that's so weird. I just wanted to say to the audience, sorry, we haven't been around for a second, but we'll be back regularly.
I was gonna say, don't blame me, motherfucker. This is all you. That's all.
No,
I'm
don't
trying.
Say that on Instagram. I've been seeing you on a big press tour. But anyway, I'm directing Shrinking and it's so much fun. But yeah, I feel like I like to not full Chris Nolan suit, but I try and like, you know, wear a nice outfit each day to represent.
Nolan rocks a suit when he.
Yeah, some directors, Sam Raimi's another one. Some directors wear a suit every single day. When I was on Oz the Great and Powerful, we shot that for like 6 months. Sam Raimi wore a suit every single day.
With shoes?
Oh, with tie. Yeah.
But with shoes or sneakers?
That's He may have had comfortable shoes on. I don't remember.
But, like that's where I that's fine. If you want to wear a suit, whatever you wear on your body is fine. But like you got to be comfortable, man. And I get
know.
That's the one thing that's important. And so if you are suited up, so be it. Hey,
you know what?
I can't do it.
I read somewhere, I forgot who it was, which director said this, but they said the best advice they could give to a director is to change your socks at lunch.
Hmm. Oh, interesting.
Why's that?
Because it's really weird, but by the time you get to lunch, you're like exhausted already and you've sweat all day and your feet, right? So then there's something about like starting the second chapter of the day with a fresh pair of dry socks that adds a little bit of psychosomatic, like, okay, here we go again, new chapter. And you'd think it was like silly, but it actually works. So if I whether you're a filmmaker or you do anything that requires a lot of you, and I don't know, try it. There's something about changing your socks at lunch.
Full support.
I think changing my underwear might be the ticket.
Well, do you sweat? Do your balls sweat enough that you need to?
I got some very sweaty balls.
By the way,
we
got to tell Daniel what happened. We're not going to say who it was, but a very, very, very fancy executive said to Donald and I, hey, thanks a lot. I was listening to the podcast and I got my kids in the car, and all of a sudden you guys are talking about waxing your anuses.
Have they ever listened to the podcast before? Come on.
Yeah, they had.
This person is a fan of the podcast, but this person was like, damn, you guys, I had to like, then I had to explain what Nair was to my kids.
I feel bad. That's awful. This is funny.
Did you ever get the waxing? I
tried Nair, but I kept it out of like the deep crevice.
Mm. Did it work?
It's kind of gross.
Yeah, it kind of destroys the hair.
It's like weird. It's like a scientific experiment on your butt cheek.
Oh, what's happening? You did it on your butt.
Yeah, I tried it on my cheeks a little.
I love that you have a hairy ass.
It works. I'm not having a hairy ass, bro. I know, but whenever we've been together, I've always made sure that I shaved it. I'm just kidding. I don't really have a hairy butt at all. I just thought, I don't know. I had already ordered the Nair before you all told me not to do it. So I just thought, well, I'm not going to go deep because of all the warnings. And I didn't have any painter's tape for my balloon knot, but I just did the cheeks.
Oh, my God.
How are you? How's your press tour for your show?
Lord.
It's been great, man.
They're really hyping you guys up.
You know, there are not a lot of people working in Hollywood right now. Like a lot of actors and stuff like that aren't working right now.
I saw that article.
Guest spots and all of that stuff. And I've been very fortunate to be working. Same, you know, with you as well, Zach. You know, we're very lucky.
So lucky, of course.
And this press tour reminded me of how lucky I was, you know, like even the press tour was, I looked at it as, oh, this is an acting exercise. This is work, you know? And when it was over, it was like, wow, I'm going to miss this. I'm going to miss this moment. This was a really great moment. We'll see what happens. People are still watching the show.
The show's popular. Yes, Joelle. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I was at a screening the other day and a journalist comes up to me and she was like, oh my gosh, you do fake doctors. I was like, I do. It's like, I just met Donald today and he was fabulous. He was amazing. They love you. Like, right, obviously, on. I'm glad that you love it because they love you back. I think it's sweet.
I had a lot of fun and it's something that I don't usually have fun doing. Like, I hate, I'm going to be honest with everyone out there who's listening. I do not like doing press. I don't know if it's an anxiety thing. I don't know what it is, but it's a switch that you turn on, and then while you're doing it, you know, I have a lot of fun when I'm doing it. I'm not gonna lie, but then when you turn off, it's almost like a nervous breakdown for me. You know what I mean?
It's exhausting. You're being like asked, like pop quizzed all day. Like, here's a ton of different questions. Like, answer them correctly.
And you don't want to say the wrong thing either. Like, you don't want to get, nobody wants to get canceled. You know,
on your mind is like, gosh, this is a minefield. Like, I don't want to say anything inappropriate at all. And all day long, every journalist you talk to, for the most part, you know, it's basically going to be some version of the same 8 questions. So you answer those and then you want to be original for people, but then you start being like, oh my God, I'm just a broken record. And then you're worried that like you phrased it wrong. I agree, Donald. You got to be on and try and be funny, but at the same time, it causes anxiety.
Cryer said something that was really great. He was like, you know, you worry that everybody's going to be like, well, he said that joke on such and such, or he said that joke on such and such. But nobody's watching all of these things at once. Right, nobody's following you like that. So you're lucky if one person catches that joke. So
I know. The problem is when you got a really good story, you're like, you got to save it for like, what's the most viewers that I'm going to be talking to? Right? It's probably going to be Jimmy Kimmel, or I got to save that anecdote for Jimmy
Kimmel.
That's
funny.
I got a funny story. So I'm directing Shrinking and it's so fun. I love it. And there's this scene where the characters at a dog kennel. And so we looked at a bunch of real dog kennels and it just, the logistics of it didn't make sense. So we found this room at a place that's not a kennel and we're going to dress it in, you know, with kennels and stuff to look like the back room of a dog kennel. And one of the producers comes up to me and he says, hey, it's Kip Kroger. You remember him, Donald? He started as a PA in post, I think, on Scrubs.
And editing.
And now he's one of Bill's, this is how loyal Bill is, and also, of course, how good Kip is. Now he's one of the main producers at Bill's company. So I had said, like, you know, we need this amount of kennels. I think that'll look good to dress this room. And he comes up to me and goes, hey, man, you just got out of that meeting, and they think you need, like, 20 dogs? Like, that's a lot of dogs for us to, like, get from a trainer. And I said, oh, no, no, no worries. It's fine. We can, you know, we'll make it work with what, eight or so. And you make sure they're trained so they're not barking and we can record sound. He goes, I had this idea. What if we got Rowdy out of storage?
No way.
And I was like, do you know, I don't know. I told the story about how I got Rowdy on Wish I Was Here, right? Just to remind anyone that didn't hear, like they, and Disney made a huge deal out of getting Rowdy because they think I'm trying to steal him. And he came with a guard, legit. He came with a security guard to the Wish I Was Here set. And I said to Kip, I was like, you can get Rowdy, but just, you know, he's in the back of that fucking Raiders of the Ark, you know, hangar, way back.
Lost Ark hangar.
Yeah. And then, and when you get him, he's going to come with a guard. Anyway, so I think I might be getting Rowdy out of retirement again.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Yes.
That would be amazing.
Please, please.
And a fun Easter egg for Scrubs fans that when you get to the kennel scene, one of those kennels will have Rowdy in them.
And if you can spot the taxidermy dog amongst the living.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Wouldn't that be funny, though? Just a little
That'd be awesome, man.
That would be really funny.
That would be great.
I said, you're going to have to go high up, though, Kip, because they don't fuck around when it comes to releasing Rowdy. If we do
All right,
show,
I got to say one thing. I may have talked a lot of shit during this last press tour for Extended Family, which airs on NBC at 8:30 on Tuesday nights. And then the next day you could stream it, new episodes on Peacock.
That was quite a parenthetical, but go ahead.
Nice.
I might have talked a lot of shit about how we're trying to put Scrubs together and put it out to the world.
Yeah, well, I think that's true. I think that there's nothing.
I just need the confirmation. Nothing, that's all I need.
There's nothing firm, but it does feel like there's momentum towards something being real.
I've said we're really trying, is what I said.
That's accurate.
I said we're really, really trying. We're trying to make it happen, is what I said.
I think it's accurate. I think we've talked about this for so long, and I think that we have to talk about the Super Bowl ads. I don't think we've spoken about that.
Oh my gosh.
We have not talked.
Those were fire.
You want to talk about sidebar? Yeah. That's a great little.
I'm not to humble brag, but if we can't do it on our own podcast,
holy
then
shit.
Where can you?
It has on YouTube, I think it's the 50, it has 55 million views, the Momoa one. And I think the auditions one has 56 million views, which is, we never thought we would beat Travolta.
Us and Momoa has been taken by us and the other guys?
I haven't checked recently, but when I did last check, first of all, we're in both, so it's okay. But
I understand that we're in both, but you know.
I think that the auditions one with Bradley is at 56 million on YouTube, and the Momoa one's at 55 million, which, you guys, just for reference, we never thought we'd ever beat the Travolta one because it's Travolta singing Grease. I mean, that's pretty unbelievable. Pretty
epic. Yeah.
And that was at 40 something. So this just really was a hit with people.
Yeah, you nailed it with those numbers, by the way. Well. 55 and 56 right now. That's nuts. Yeah. Wow. It's so big.
It's really huge. And it was so
that's
fun.
That's amazing. I'm gonna be that's a lot of views, man.
What was Travolta at?
Yeah. I'm scrolling right now looking for it. Let's see here. It's gonna be a while.
I think late 40s.
Well, the Super Bowl was huge also, man. Let's keep it 100.
By the way, how about our placement? Million. I didn't even know what the two-minute warning was, but we were at the
2-minute warning. We're always at the 2-minute warning. Did you know that?
But the first spot up after 2-minute warning, that was a fire placement.
This is the first time we've ever been the first spot up after the 2-minute warning. You're absolutely right about that.
By the way, we got to shout it out for Mike Katz, who's the one who chooses where this goes. And he, what about, like, first of all, the game, you can't predict how close the game's going to be. Mm-mm. That was such a good game. And then at the 2-minute warning, they go to commercial and it's our spot. That was fucking great.
That was prime time. The last year's commercial, I think getting a little boost from this year's commercial, is currently at 56. Tied with the auditions.
Holy wow.
Wow. It got a boost. Well, anyway, Donald and I had so much fun shooting it. We can't say enough about Jason Momoa. He's so cool and kind and funny and so game, obviously, to be as silly and dorky as we are.
And you know, and he was really kind with my kids, and you know, he brought his kids to set and stuff like that. Like, it was, you know, it was a great experience. This new year so far with you, buddy, we've had some good times so far. Right out the gate, like, holy cow, bro.
I feel so lucky.
Very lucky.
We had so much fun, and it's such a pleasure to get to laugh with Donald and be as silly. And And then, of course, the fact that people love it, it's just, it's so gratifying. We never know, like the idea that Donald and I would get a third Super Bowl commercial in a row, it just not, it was not even in our minds. And then the funny thing about the auditions one, I have to tell you the context of this is that I think we've told you this before, but the way that Brian Klugman and Andrew Panay, who make these commercials, do it is we always do like a really low budget version, like on spec, which means like it's not the real commercial. We do it to sort of show T-Mobile what the commercial is going to be like. And so we did a version of this in my backyard with me and Donald, and we had a double, and then we put like a big sort of like bobblehead fake picture of Momoa over the double's body, and then move the mouth like South Park, so we could just like sell what the concept of the spot was going to be. And then we went into the studio and recorded it, and we had a double sing for Jason because obviously he hadn't signed on yet. And so that was great. And we basically made like a short film for the Momoa one. It was really, really funny.
The pitch was a short film.
The pitch was essentially like this short film. It was really funny. But then for the auditions one, that one, Brian was like, hey, will you and Donald do one? So we shot that on an iPhone in my guest house. To Donald,
with a ring light.
With a ring light and an iPhone. And that was just supposed to be part of the spec ad, right? So then when they went and made the real, quote unquote, audition spot, they went back and shot it professionally. And Donald and I weren't going to be in that one because we were going to be in the Momoa one. It was like, we weren't supposed to be in that one. And then at the last second, I was skiing, actually. I was in Utah skiing, and we got a call that they wanted to add us to the audition spot, but they weren't going to reshoot it. They were just going to use the iPhone footage. So that 56 million views on the Super Bowl is an iPhone footage of me and Donald in my guest house.
That's amazing.
It works.
Like, no, I'm just saying, if it worked for the Blair Witch Project, how come it can't work for T-Mobile, baby?
I know. I'm just saying, all of you guys out there saying you can't make a movie because you can't afford to rent a camera, you shoot it on your iPhone because Donald and I are on an iPhone in the Super Bowl ad. It's a good iPhone ad. All right. What else do we have to talk about before we get in the show?
There's so much to talk about. We've been gone for so long, it feels like. For you guys, it doesn't feel like that because we've banked a couple of shows. Yeah, man.
Well, we had one additional week, and then we ran a rerun last week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. We ran a rerun last week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had no more recordings.
We didn't bank enough, dude. We got to bank more. I'm losing weight. By the way, I have a question. When you lose weight, do your fingers lose weight?
Yeah, everything.
They can.
Everything.
Because I can't tell if it's psychosomatic, but I have this aura ring and I have been losing weight and now it feels loose and I can't tell if that's just in my head or not.
No, that's not real. You lose weight everywhere. You don't just lose weight in your belly.
My fingers are losing weight, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything. Skinny fingers now. Wow. It's so hard to be on set with all this fucking food. Every day there's these tables of food and so-and-so got cookies and so-and-so got ice cream and there's an ice cream truck and all this stuff. And I'm just sitting there just like shaking.
Does Harrison eat it?
No, I don't see him eating that stuff. At least, I mean, I don't know what he's eating on his own, but it's like, you know, there's so much, you know, the crew, there's so much food going around because you can't really leave. Everyone's got to just stay there. So And then, I don't know, it's just hard. It's, you know, when I'm home and at my house, like, it's easy. When you're you must feel this when you're at your show and, like, all that food around.
Oh, bro, man. I walk by craft service all day. They got hot dogs and shit. Look, I love me some hot dogs. A glizzy for shizzy, my nizzy.
Favorite
word. Oh, my gosh.
It's a New York meme for hot dog.
Slang for a hot dog. Oh. Call him the glizzy gulper.
I never heard of a glizzy.
Oh my goodness gracious. Mm-hmm. They have the roller. And so you know how the roller works where the aroma just hits you. And I don't know about you, but ain't nothing like that Hebrew national hot dog when that shit's on that roller.
Oh my God. It's like an obstacle course at shrinking. Just you're like, no, I can't have that. Okay, I have a little bit of that. No, I can't have that.
No, I can't do that.
And there's always someone coming around like, hey guys, there's an ice cream truck. Does anyone want ice cream?
So I had to wait until press was over to start this. I had planned on starting this food thing. I had to wait till press was over because I was going to New York. I was going to, you know, I went to Atlanta. I went to Kansas City. I was like, I'm going to wait until the press thing is over to do this food thing and consume these healthy foods.
The food service.
I know I'm gonna eat. Huh?
Will they deliver meals to your house?
Yes. Sorry. And now I'm going to miss it. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to miss the grease.
Yeah. And but the butter. Did you start it yet?
And the bacon. Yeah. It's delicious. It's good.
Yeah.
But I'm going to miss the grease. I'm going to miss the butter.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss the bacon. I'm going to miss the red meat.
Are you going to be able to stick to it?
I mean, I kind of got her, man. I'm turning 50 this year. My life is on the line.
It's pretty dire.
It's not dire, but you know.
Are you going to join me in my 10,000 steps a day challenge?
Mm. I did buy an Aura ring.
All right, there you go. Nice.
Well, join me. I got my nephew on it. He's texting me his steps. Oh, yeah. I got my friend Trevor. Our friend Trevor's on it. Anyone who's doing it with me, keep it up. I know it's tricky some days. For me, it definitely is. But my trainer says it's one of the easiest, best things you can do.
Well, they say the iWatch is great for the steps, but the Aura ring's great for the sleep. Like that's the
and obviously there's lower budget versions of it out there too. That bracelet thing, what's that called?
Fitbit.
Oh yeah, Fitbit.
But yeah, the thing about the phone is just first of all, I don't want an iWatch, Apple Watch, just because I'm already on my phone too much. I don't want to look at. I just feel like an Apple Watch for me would be too much. So I got the ring because also, and then phone wise, your phone's not always on you, so you're not getting credit for those steps. The thing about that's cool about the ring, or I imagine the Fitbit, is it just always on you.
Right.
And the one that starts with a W, I don't think it counts steps. I could be wrong, but it does some other calculation, whereas I need from my program to know what steps I'm on. This episode was emotional.
Yeah, we should do it.
I got full body goosebumps at the end.
Yeah. You want to hit it?
Count us in, baby girl.
5, 6, 7, 8. Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of dogs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's a story that we all should know. So gather round to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Dono.
What you trying to get into a day soon? What you trying to do?
Ain't nothing like walking down the street of New York City and having somebody run up to you and sing that to you. What you trying to get into, I dare show? What you trying to do?
It must make you feel good. The podcast is very popular. I got to tell you, I was working on the set and these two grips came up to me and they were going to say Love Scrubs or Love Something Else I've Done. And they were like, hey, man, we both love the podcast. And that made me feel so good. So good.
It's really interesting. You know, I'm taking pictures with photographers and stuff like that. And their assistants are like, dude, love your fucking podcast.
Or wow.
The photographer's like, I'm a huge fan.
I keep forgetting how popular this is. I just think the four of us are sitting here shooting the shit. And there's so many people listening.
Does this ever, well, it obviously is occurring to you within press, Joel. You know, somebody within press. What we are now, Zach, said, you know, Joel, I just had a conversation with Donald. You know what I mean? Recognizing Joel from this podcast.
The funny thing is Bill gets recognized now, too. I mean, I don't know why Bill's getting recognized so much more. I was in Vegas with Bill, and he was getting recognized.
For the podcast?
Well, obviously, I think some because of the podcast, because he's on here a bunch. And also because obviously he's become an even bigger showrunner than ever and his name is more famous. But this dude gets recognized.
Were people coming up to Bill and saying, I'm loving you on your podcast?
No, but I told you last time I directed Shrinking, the guard at the gate was like, hey, Mr. Braff, welcome back. I love you on Bill's podcast. But actually, we had something really beautifully moving happen. I was in Vegas with Bill. We went to see U2 at the Sphere, which was super cool.
That's right. Oh, my God.
And we're walking through.
Did they do a rattle and hum section?
I forgot which albums.
When we were a kid, that was the first like concert movie that I can remember.
They did all the hits.
And the only reason why I know this is because it came right before the Eddie Murphy Raw. Like if you bought Eddie Murphy Raw, the trailer before on VHS Raw was YouTube. YouTube, wow. Rattle and Hum. And then it would go into the Eddie Murphy Raw shit. It was for those really of you cool. who have VHS and remember, you know exactly what the fuck I'm talking about.
It was really
about.
Cool. I mean, obviously, if you get a chance, audience, I think U2's almost done, but if you get a chance to see a band you like at the Sphere, it is pretty, a really cool experience. Right, Joelle, what are you doing? What's the matter?
Sorry, Beyonce is rumored to be the next act in there, and I just
I think
can't
it's the
even.
Dead or the next, but Beyonce's, I'm well,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah, like the next one to like announce is Whoa. Apparently going to be Beyonce, so we don't
is
know
that
yet.
Gonna be
but
her is that going to be her residency?
That would be
That's
wild.
The rumor. I can't even, oh my God.
Hold on, wait a second. Wait a second. You can have the Sphere as a residency?
Not forever, but for like a long time.
Yeah. For a period of time. That's what U2's like doing.
That's what U2's doing.
How long did they've only
well, they've been doing like three. No, they've been doing like three shows a week for I don't know how long, but a while.
Yeah.
Yo.
Yeah.
That is a fucking, oh my God. You know who should, this is where John Williams, all these conductors and stuff need to start throwing freaking shows yes. at the Sphere, yes. man,
yeah.
and letting yes. this freaking thing take you on that journey that you're talking about yes. in your music, man. Come on. I'm into
That's
that.
True. That's true. They should totally do that, Donald. That's a great idea. It is such a, when I watched the U2 show, I went, this is unbelievable. And this is just sort of the proof of concept, this yeah. band doing this. Like, this is just what are artists going to do with this incredible space? You know, there's so many things you could do. And, mm-hmm. I can imagine, I think the Dead and Fish are next. Fish first, I think. So you can imagine that's going to be super trippy for all those people that love jam bands and stuff, because the visuals will be crazy.
Yeah. Are you allowed to smoke weed in Vegas now?
I was just
yes,
about to say.
You sure can.
I don't
you
think,
sure
in, no, not
can.
In the
that
Sphere.
That Sphere is
going
to smell.
Not
that's just, they're not
the
going to be able to get that no. smell out.
You can
they're
absolutely
not going to be able to get that smell out.
I can tell you just from being there that once that it's so buttoned up that I mean, God knows what they're going to do at Fish and Dead. I think they're going to have to have a full time to kick you out.
Dude,
team,
that shit, they ain't going to be able
anyway,
to get that smell out.
But anyway, you're definitely not allowed to smoke. You're not allowed to smoke weed in there. I'm sure the Dead and Fish people will, but they certainly weren't at U2.
Motherfuckers is going to be vaping. Motherfuckers is going to be sneaking bongs up in that shit. Hit the bong button. Hit the bong sound effects.
Oh, sorry. Here I come.
That's what you're going to hear all day.
But anyway, when I was watching, I was like, and John Williams is a great idea, Donald. I was just, you can't help but think, like, think how artists are going to use this. It's so cool. So cool.
It's the tip of the
and
iceberg.
And I didn't even see, and there's an Aronofsky movie that, that's a nature
oh, right.
doc. I didn't get to see that.
That's but, another thing. I would love to watch a movie in that also.
Yeah, I think Aronofsky's the only person that's made something sort of, that's not a concert thing so far, but I heard it's incredible. Mm. But wait, I wanted to just say that. So Bill and I are walking through a casino. He, of course, crushed in blackjack. He was so good. He won a lot of money, and I did not. I wasn't. He was trying to. He was giving me good advice. He was a good coach, but I still got crushed, and he won, of course. But we're walking through the casino, and this woman like came up to us in tears, and she said, "I'm sorry to bother you. I just want to say." First she started talking to me, and I was like, "Hey, thank you so much, but this is Bill who created the whole thing." And she had tears in her eyes, and she said, "Scrubs has truly got me through a lot of hard times, and I can't believe I'm running into you too, and I wanted to thank you." And it was so moving. Mm. She was so heartfelt. That's so wonderful. I just want to say to anyone who feels that way, thank you so much. That was really, really, we forget because we don't. Because we were in it, and we sit here and we talk about it every once in a while. But seeing how much it means to people was really moving to both Bill and I. We were both really, emotional about it.
I've learned a lot from just listening to, like Joelle once said something about a show that meant a lot to her, and she was like, "Please, don't let them cancel it." And I was like, "Joelle, you got to let it go." But some shows touch you, you know what I mean? And, for Joelle, it was Harley Quinn, you know what I mean? That's a show that she freaking
really
connected to. And because she connected to it that hard, I went and watched that shit. And so, I like that. I love the show now, you know what I mean? Great. I think it's real fire. And so when people do that, it's the... Please express that to other people as well, because that connection, that love could be spread some more. You know what I mean? And then more people could watch Scrubs.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back after these fine words.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com. JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience owning them is a great one.
Always packing the most functionality and fun into every product at a truly accessible price.
Zach, let me tell you, JLab has these new luxury over-ear headphones called the JBuds Lux ANC.
Yep.
These seamlessly blend innovation and lab quality sound, all in these sleek headphones that guarantee an elevated listening experience. You can connect to multiple devices, customize your sound in the JLab app, and get over 70 hours of playtime.
Well, buddy, those sound pretty cool, but have you heard of the JBuds ANC3? They are the smallest smart active noise canceling true wireless earbuds you can find. You can also connect to multiple devices, but these come with a built-in USB-C charging cable and a noise canceling microphone for crisp, clear phone calls. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card.
You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases,
and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn.
Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply. All right. This was directed by Zach Braff. I have no memory of directing it.
You don't remember directing this?
I don't. I got to be honest. I remember when they do that opening JD sliding through all the scenes thing. I was like, oh, that's clever. I didn't remember directing it.
It was trying to be like the first episode, where everything's going around him, but yeah. That was shot in real time, where this is shot on green screen, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, elements of it were, yeah, obviously when JD, I didn't know how exactly we did it, but then on Scrubs Wiki, one of the things is that you can see a piece of JD's rollerblades when he's gliding through the parking lot, so I guess they had me on rollerblades.
They pulled you, obviously.
Yeah.
Either that or you skip.
No, but that was cool. I mean, it was kind of like this wannabe Spike Lee shot, you know, that his infamous, the actors on the dolly shot.
On the right.
But yeah, Sarah walking and me just gliding. That looked cool, I thought.
It did.
I didn't know that you could secretly see the hidden rollerblades.
So just to catch everybody up, JD is now going to move 30 minutes away from Sacred Heart. 37 to be with his.
They should have. I agree with what was said last time. They should have made it further because this is like right on the edge of like why.
Well, I mean, they kind of retcon what he says halfway through the episode.
Yeah.
Or toward the end of the episode, where Turk's like, that shit ain't no half 37 minutes. It's more like an hour and a half, bro.
Yeah, because both you have to stop at the blueberry stand. Do you think they stop at the blueberry stand both ways?
Right. Exactly.
Yes, I do. I do think they stop both ways.
And the blueberries are made potentially with the sun's manure. That was like, what? We get sick because it comes out that the blueberries might be special because they're made with the farmer's son's special manure.
Yes.
Ew.
Yeah. I don't know what that's about.
I mean, wouldn't that be the son's own fecal matter, right?
Yeah, I think that's the implication.
That's the insinuation, yes.
That's the implication. By the way, the theme that the janitor keeps saying over and over again is change begets change. Nobody wants everything. Janitor does not want people to keep changing because so many people in this episode are changing. And
which is interesting because you would think that he's gone through the most changes in a hospital, right? Either him or Kelso. They've seen everybody come and go.
Right. But I think both he and Cox as well. Yeah, I think we learned that he and Cox are both hiding the fact that they don't want this group to fall apart.
It's a good group.
It's a pretty great group.
Pretty good group.
I really like this episode a lot because
I felt just watching it as a fan, I went, oh, I don't want this to be over. And it was so good at making me emotional about that. I felt like, oh, I love this group of people. And oh, you're one episode away from it being over. I don't want it to be over. So that was good.
I felt like we were showing off how good we were now at this point. At this point, and also I think it's because we knew it was over. And so at this point, we're really throwing in like everybody just to see like there's moments where it's Cox and Elliot and they're seen as fucking hilarious. Judy and, you know, sorry, Turk and Carla and JD, you know what I mean? Like just everything is, the rhythm is on point. You know, Kelso doesn't have the chief of a medicine job anymore, but his moments in the hospital still feel within the rhythm and everything like that. And it's been 8 seasons and you can feel it all coming to a head. You know what I mean? You can feel the pressure about to pop as we say goodbye. And that's what I felt throughout the whole episode. It's like, oh shit, I'm going to cry at some point because I'm going to miss this, one. And two, I'm going to laugh because it's fucking Scrubs. You know what I'm saying?
I almost cried at the end.
It's like the perfect setup. You've experienced it all for these past 8 seasons. Here's an ultimate setup. You can now watch it with us and see it coming. It's fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah.
It's so awesome.
Especially when you know it's about to be over.
Yeah.
So Turk is wearing his chief hat that the janitor made for him in his new badge picture.
Yeah.
Carla's not into the chief hat and the badge.
Not at all.
She wants him to look respectable.
Right. And I agree with Turk, to be honest with you. As someone who has a ID that where I'm making a face and I got away with it.
Really?
I agree with him. I would love your
lot badge?
No, my lot badge, my wife. So my lot badge is us on vacation. I put sunblock all over my body, not sunscreen, sunblock all over my body, the white stuff. All over my body.
That's what she chose as your picture?
And my wife was like, I could pick any picture I want. I was like, you could pick any picture you want. Thinking she would pick a handsome picture of me. She chose me full Cisco.
What's Cisco?
Amazing.
Cisco from Drew Hill. He had the silver hair.
He did the thong song.
Thong song, that thong, the thong, thong, thong.
But wait,
my whole body is the
silver?
Color of his hair, full Cisco.
I need to see that.
I like it when the booty go, baby. Let me hear it go.
He really loves thongs. That guy. He really loves thongs.
He likes thongs a lot.
He loves them
because he likes it when the booty go.
Yeah, he likes it when the booty go, but it's when the thong. Go.
Yeah, but it's because he likes when the baby make the booty go.
Baby make the booty go. Thong, 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 thong.
But it only works if she's wearing that thong, 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 thong.
I'm sure he likes the booty without the thong, but he really went all in on loving thongs.
Well, she had dumps like a truck.
What does that mean, dumps like a truck? She had a big booty?
You're supposed to say what? What?
What? What?
Thighs like what?
What?
Baby, move your butt? I think I'll sing it again. She got dumps like a truck.
Dumps like a truck is her ass cheeks?
Yes.
All right, so here I got another one. Apple bottom jeans, boots with the fur.
Oh. The whole
okay, so
was looking
fuck, dude,
fur.
I always thought they're saying apple bottom jeans and the boots are made of fur.
Right.
No, motherfucker, she got boots on and the fur coat. Oh, shit. That shit caught me. I was 2 years old when I found that shit out, man.
I thought the boots had fur, too.
No, the jacket.
How did you learn
jacket.
This? Was that Reba McEntire?
I saw a picture of Reba McEntire.
Yeah.
And that shit laid me out. I was like, fuck.
But Apple Bottom Jeans did have boots with fur, so most likely that's what the original song was referring to.
But I never seen nobody with no boots with the fur with no Apple Bottom Jeans. I've seen the boots and the fur with the fur on jacket, I mean.
I feel you. Listen, it can play either way, but this is because Reba was saying at the Super Bowl and she had a fabulous fur on with dope boots.
But it just makes more sense that way. That's my point. It makes more sense.
What are apple bottom jeans?
They were a brand of jeans by Kamora Lee Simmons.
Good knowledge.
It makes your butt look like bongos.
Interesting bongo sound.
Okay. Got it.
My bad. So are they, like, you look not, like congas,
They're not in style anymore, apple bottom jeans, Joel?
No, they're still, never go out of style.
The company come back? Is it still existing? I'm not sure of the current state of the apple bottom jeans.
Maybe the name of the, but apple bottom jeans, I thought was a style of jean that just made your butt look like an apple bottom or a peach bottom.
That was where the company got its name from.
Joel, do you think I could pull off apple bottom jeans?
Well, you know you ain't got no ass. Don't even try.
Well, I'm working on my ass in the gym. I'm going to have a booty. Just you wait. I'm doing glutes.
What are you talking about?
I'm doing glutes at the gym. I'm going to have a booty.
Boy.
Who's the most famous big booty in the world? That's what I'm going to have soon.
You're going to have a... What a question. Okay. You're going to have a... Kardashian booty?
Yes. I'm going to have a Kardashian booty soon.
You're going to have to put something in there.
I'm putting muscles in there, glutes. And I'm going to wear apple bottom jeans, boots with the fur. The whole town was looking at her. She hit the floor. Next thing you know,
I guess if you were in a small town walking around with apple bottom jeans, boots with the fur. Town would be looking at
her. The whole town would be looking at her.
Yeah, but it's the club. The club.
All right, the club. The whole club was looking at her. She hit the floor. Next thing you know, Shorty got low, 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 low.
Not prepared.
She hit the floor. Next thing you know, low, low, low.
It's the next T-Mobile
You
commercial.
Sound like Rocco. When Rocco first heard that song, he would sing it like that. She hit the floor. Next thing you know, Shorty got low, 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 low.
Oh, no.
She hit the floor. And the next thing you know, I don't even know what happened. But Shorty, she just got low, low, low. And the whole club was looking at her. All right. Should we take a break? We'll be right back after these fine.
That's what I'm talking about. Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com. JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience owning them is a great one.
Always packing the most functionality and fun into every product at a truly accessible price.
Zach, let me tell you, JLab has these new luxury over-ear headphones called the JBuds Lux ANC.
Yep.
These seamlessly blend innovation and lab quality sound, all in these sleek headphones that guarantee an elevated listening experience. You can connect to multiple devices, customize your sound in the JLab app, and get over 70 hours of playtime.
Well, buddy, those sound pretty cool, but have you heard of the JBuds ANC3? They are the smallest smart active noise canceling true wireless earbuds you can find. You can also connect to multiple devices, but these come with a built-in USB-C charging cable and a noise canceling microphone for crisp, clear phone calls. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Hey, listeners, how is your social battery right now?
It can be easy for people to ignore their social battery and spread themselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter.
Everyone has a different capacity for socializing and different ways of recharging. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time.
Either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/RealFriends today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/RealFriends.
And we're back.
We're back. We're back. We're back. Right. Right. Right.
All
right.
Let's get in the show. So there's an on-call room walk of shame as Denise and Derek come out, and then Carla says she fantasizes about Derek, and then Elliot says this incredible fantasy that she has that helps her climax. She uses
and
the word
I was
climax.
So happy that Elliot said that because, and then they said something about therapy, but I was so happy that Elliot said that because I feel like we've lost that.
I agree, Donald. I had the same reaction. I was like, I miss Elliot's. Ever since she got back with JD, she's not into the kink anymore. Well, she's back at it. Unfortunately, it's not really related to JD. I guess it is a little bit. I wrote some cliff notes here. JD, in her fantasy, JD tries to mug Elliot and Derek. And then she grabs the knife and forces them both to pleasure her.
Sometimes.
But then she goes on a killing spree. That's her fantasy.
It takes a dark turn.
And then she says, we all have our little tricks to help us climax.
Yes. When having sex, I don't ever start thinking like that. Like, do you have fantasies, like descriptive fantasies while having sex?
No, I think I'm always in the moment.
Does anyone else want to answer that?
It would be disturbing if you were that far away. He's like, what is happening? Why are
right,
you
where
not
are you?
In
right.
the room?
Right. You're not even here right now.
But you have to have your go-to.
You're murdering people right
do
now?
You have your go-to, do you have your go-to, like, I have to quickly think about something else topic?
So that shit doesn't work because all it does is make me panic. You know what I mean?
Oh, God.
Patrick Ewing, sweating in the fourth quarter. Patrick Ewing, sweating. That just makes me
Why cry. Is it Patrick Ewing sweating in the fourth quarter?
Because
that's
you
thing?
Think of the most unattractive thing you can think of to try and stop yourself from fucking
I'm
going to
try right? Patrick Ewing is my thing now.
You know,
no disrespect to Patrick Ewing.
No disrespect. No disrespect, Patrick Ewing, but
no respect, but Donald
quarter,
thinks about you in the fourth quarter sweating.
On top of me just seems
oh,
like.
Oh, he's on top of you.
Well, just, you know, it's whatever it takes. Just
oh, my God. So sometimes takes, he's just in the room, but if you're closer to climax, he's on top of
it's
you?
It's like he's like, I'm playing basketball, and he's just dripping sweat
oh.
on top of you. You
oh, he's not, in the, he's not in your bedroom.
No, he's not like literally on top of me, like but
when you're if it's not working and you're getting closer to climax, you're like, all right, now he's climbing in the bed.
Now he's fucking me. Patrick Ewing's fucking
now
me.
He's fucking me.
Sweating in the fourth
he's
quarter.
He's fucking me.
Y'all are wild.
God damn.
Don't come.
And then you
Patrick
come.
Ewing is
and then
now
you
fucking
come.
Me.
And
sweating
then you
in
come
the fourth
and,
quarter.
And then you come and you have to be like, I have to look at this.
Then you come hard. Then you just can't
baby.
Stop it.
And then Casey's like, baby, why did you just have the most insane orgasm? Like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
No, I'll tell her straight up. Patrick Ewing was fucking me while sweating in the fourth quarter.
Oh, my word.
Joel, we're going to need another content warning
you.
For this one.
Zach, I love you. Yeah.
We might have to cut all break. Of this, Daniel. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't think we can talk about Patrick Ewing this way. This is
no, we have to. That's beautiful. Listen.
Is it?
It's beautiful.
It's funny.
How Donald,
it's funny jokes.
It's how Donald manages to last. That's what we'll call this episode. How Donald manages to last. Donald. All right, so the janitor is decided he's not cleaning the third floor for a month because someone stole his sandwich off his cart.
And it was Lady.
We learn it was Lady, but he doesn't want anyone to think he's a flip-flopper, so he's still not going to clean the third floor of a hospital for a month.
Then someone thought it was a good idea to let the janitor give advice to a kid?
Yeah, Liam. And his advice is really, really crazy and bad. I was hoping they wrote the whole thing down on Scrubs Wiki, but they didn't. But he says that the little boy Liam should keep his anger.
Yeah, never
growing,
hit because when you
like
hit,
an anger
it releases
baby.
The anger. Yeah. When you yeah. hit someone, it releases. So you keep it and let it fester and grow inside of you like an anger baby.
I know.
Is what he says.
And then he says, how far are you willing to go? Are you willing to have plastic surgery and move your eyes here? Which he points his chin and his forehead.
Oh, my goodness.
And then the kid says, are you on drugs? And he says, are you?
You?
It gets defensive.
Yeah.
Do you think that mean he is on drugs?
No. I think it would have been fun. I think it would have been funny if they said, are you drunk? And he said, are you?
No, he did in one episode before. He said, are you? Someone said, are you drunk? And then he goes, have you been drinking? And he goes, I'm not drunk.
But he says, are you, meaning like he gets a little defensive about the idea that he's on drugs. Yeah. I mean, I think it's totally possible that the janitor's on something.
In my world, this is who he is. I refuse to believe that been on some type of hallucinogenic or something that's
all right. I like
changed
that.
His state. I think
I'll agree with you on that. It's 100% who he is.
Yeah.
Just like how Elliot fantasizes about going on a killing spree to climax.
That's nuts to me.
All right, so JD goes to Kim's hospital, drives the 37 minutes, and he meets Dr. Mantoots. And he...
Hell yeah. Mantoots. All right. There's really a guy named Mantoots somewhere out
so
there.
So it's funny.
A woman named Mantoots. Mrs.
So
Mantoots.
He can't
Mrs.
stop laughing. He can't stop laughing at Dr. Mantoots, but that somehow he gets a job there. And
yeah.
he tells everyone that he's decided to move. And Cox is so happy that he does a backflip
and doesn't land himself. It. No, he does not stick the landing.
I do remember that. And the stunt double, Johnny C's stunt double really looked like him. So it enabled one to film him in such a way that looked exactly like there was no double there. But that is a double, obviously, doing that. That guy took a fucking hard hit to the floor.
Yeah, he did.
For comedy.
It's such an interesting expression of rage. Because he's mad, we learn at the end of the episode. So his initial reaction upon learning this news is like, I'm so angry, I have to backflip.
Well, that's a Cox trait, actually. Cox is so, if we go back to it all, he's so self-destructive when shit doesn't go his way. Mm-hmm. Or when he doesn't like something. Or when his world is disruptive. And I mean, looking at it, I was like, oh, wow, what a great joke. He's happy that he's leaving. He tried to do a backflip. But hindsight being 2020, this is so on par with his character. He had to find a way to hurt himself without showing everybody else that he was hurt. Mm-hmm. And so he tried to use the backflip as joy to, you know, it's great writing. You know what I mean? Like, great. It's a great moment. Because in the moment, I'm like, oh, that's a funny joke. But then in the end, it's like, fuck, that's a... He was pained right there, right
he'll
away.
He'll go that, that's well said. He'll go that far to not show emotion. He'll go that far to actually hurt himself to act like he doesn't care, but he actually really cares.
He loves.
Yeah, he loves him. That's what was so moving at the end. That's when I got tears in my eyes.
Do you think it's an abandonment thing? Do you think feel like he's being abandoned? Like, I'm sure we'll find out in the next episode when he expresses himself, but.
I think it's everything that JD hoped it was, that as much as he puts on this front, he is his favorite intern and he is like a son to him.
Yeah.
I'll cry right now. Oh, no. But like, I'm not prepared for the finale.
But it's also, this has happened before too. Cox had another one. Another one that he fucking...
I think this is what happens is that, you know, part of being the position he's in is that he trains these doctors, some of which he doesn't like and some of which he gets very close to, and then they move on. And he feels, in this case, because JD's probably, let's for the sake of the show, say his favorite ever, he's moving on and he feels a sense of betrayal. Like, I trained you and I made you the amazing doctor you are. And at the first chance you get, you're leaving. You're not staying and being an incredible doctor at Sacred Heart, which is my hospital. You know, I'm sure that's a real thing that the doctors feel.
So it's kind of like coaches at universities, and they have players come in, and some players last 1 year, some players last 4 years, some players all of a sudden stay and coach and stuff like that with them, you know what I mean? Cox, I guess, had high hopes, maybe because JD was there for so long. It's been 10 years almost, it's been 8 years. Is that the limit? Is that the, I thought it was 4 years, right? Internship, then you do your
residency.
Oh,
gosh, I do not know.
And then after that, like, we were residents a long time ago, so that meant we could bounce and go to any hospital.
Of course, I think that, you know, a lot of people move on way sooner than this. It's a show, so everyone stayed. That's the thing we joke about. We're going to have to figure out if we do a reboot is like, why are we all together again?
Yeah.
But it was funny. You know, by the way, in this episode, when there's that fantasy of us running the hospital and we're like, all the nurses are like models with like cut off scrubs mm-hmm. and we're in like 3-piece suits. Mm-hmm. It had me laughing because it was like, I was thinking, first of all, that it'd be fun to reference that now, like if we do now, a reboot.
The new world.
Yeah. And then also I was thinking that, oh my gosh, if you do a reboot, you'd be able to cut to shit that we shot.
Oh, so much stuff.
You'd have the unique ability to cut back to us, you know, so long ago.
Mm-hmm. And when we were younger.
When we were young and be like, it's funny to think how Turk and I imagined running this hospital would be. And then you cut to that fantasy. I mean, you could obviously like occasionally cut back to shit. It'd be funny.
We could even, yeah. It's very interesting because we'd be starting over, right? So it's a reboot. And when we started, Scrubs wasn't this bright and colorful. It was very dark and dingy, and the hospital was very scary looking. And if we cut back to how we're running it, and it's the reboot, and it's the pilot again, and it feels like that again, and it feels like a real fucking hospital again. It's,
you know what I was laughing about?
It's a different show.
You know what I was laughing about? This is how the reboot should start. Is, you know how like the pilot opens with JD and he slaps his alarm clock and he hops out of bed and he's so, you know, I think I'm 25 years old and I'm so excited and I put the shampoo on my chest. You should see like my hand come in and then like the camera pulls back and I've got like a sleep apnea mask on and I'm like tired. And then you see Elliot and she's got like her mouth gummies in. And then like it takes me like forever to get out of bed and I'm like, oh, my back. And then you see me like, and the kids are running around. And you see me like not putting shaving cream on my chest in a silly way, but like slowly, exhaustedly shaving. You know, like.
I wonder how.
Would that be funny contrast?
How old are the kids now?
I think, I mean, if I was in charge, I think it'd be funny to have teenagers, just because watching JD and Turk deal with teenagers would be funny.
They can't be little kids. We can't do the Sam.
No.
And Arnold Drummond.
Well, how old? What's the math? Well, how old would these kids be, guys?
We had the kid
when we were.
All you gotta do is look at the kids.
2000. The show stopped in what? 2009, yeah, and then we had babies. So
we had 24 babies years ago.
So they could be 15, 16.
Yeah. Jeez.
And our kids have to be dating.
Do they?
That's what we date.
Isn't that like Josh and Cher? I'm clueless.
No, that's just dating. A conclusion, and there was a step parent.
There's step
situation, yeah.
But still, brother and sister.
Step brother.
They weren't raised together, though. Anyway, I digress.
Yeah, they were.
They were not.
They're not dating.
These two are raised together.
I think they should definitely be dating.
These two are probably eagle to three.
They should keep it a secret for.
What if they do
death?
A Sam and so, like, Diane thing, fine. Where like in the first episodes they're like Sam and Diane, they're like they hate each other, but you can tell they love each other, kind of vibes. Mm.
Cute.
That or they, I like Joelle's. They keep it a secret, and they're keeping it a secret from us.
All right.
No, I don't like kids telling secrets. Don't.
Okay.
Kids
back
don't
in.
Tell secrets to
JD
your parents.
JD finds Smell You Later hilarious.
Don't wait.
What?
That makes no sense.
Don't tell secrets
to your parents. Tell your parents everything.
JD thinks Smell You Later is hilarious. Kim has
so
asked
does Turk.
Him, yes. Kim has asked him to stop saying it, but he finds it very hilarious. And he tells Turk, and Turk says, that is hilarious. And I go, I know. You know, some people don't think so. we learn that Harrison, Kelso's son, is full on running a bordello.
He's a man whore.
Yeah, and he's a man whore now.
Yeah. Officially.
He's officially a man. So Harrison is a full-time, what man do you call whore. It? A male prostitute?
Gigolo.
He's a gigolo. Mm.
No, is that what a gigolo is? I thought a gigolo was like a pimp.
No, a gigolo, I don't know if it's not the right way to say it anymore.
Deuce Bigelow, male gigolo.
Can you guys, Joelle, sorry to blow up your Google. Can you look up current 2024 for gigolo? Probably a sex worker, yeah, right?
The catch-all is sex worker for sure, but
male escort is also an appropriate term.
Male escort.
Okay, he's a male escort, but his father calls him a man whore.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back after these fine words.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com. JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience owning them is a great one.
Always packing the most functionality and fun into every product at a truly accessible price.
Zach, let me tell you, JLab has these new luxury over-ear headphones called the JBuds Lux ANC.
Yep.
These seamlessly blend innovation and lab quality sound, all in these sleek headphones that guarantee an elevated listening experience. You can connect to multiple devices, customize your sound in the JLab app, and get over 70 hours of playtime.
Well, buddy, those sound pretty cool, but have you heard of the JBuds ANC3? They are the smallest smart active noise canceling true wireless earbuds you can find. You can also connect to multiple devices, but these come with a built-in USB-C charging cable and a noise canceling microphone for crisp, clear phone calls. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech. The season of summer concerts is upon us. When you want to secure the best seat in the house, you know you can't wait until the last minute. You have to be on it. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead.
If you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/realfriends.
ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it.
Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/realfriends.
Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/realfriends.
ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Denise gives a patient too much heparin and they almost die. And Cox is furious. And but Elliot is protecting her. I'm not exactly sure why Elliot's protecting her. Why is she protecting her?
This is a trait. This is one of Elliot's things. She's always been like this, where she feels like she has to take the fall for other people's stuff.
I also felt like in this episode she was saying Denise is already beating herself up so much that it wouldn't do her confidence, her ability to get back in there and try again, any good to like berate and beat her down, which we've seen Elliot get berated and beaten down and really struggle to come back from that. So I felt she was just talking about her own experience.
That's well said, Joelle. I think that Elliot is seeing herself in Denise and wishing someone protected her more. And so she's standing up for her.
Indeed, yeah.
It's so easy to be upset at that when you watch it from afar, but for when it's you, oh man, I get why Cox is upset and I get why Elliot did it. Like, my wife and I deal with this all the time with our children. It's the exact same thing. I totally get it. Where you try to, where you wish someone had, your parent had did it different, and then you try to do it different, but you're just fucking them up. And that's what Elliot's doing.
Mm. How does it happen with your kids? What do you mean?
So when I was a kid, I didn't have everything. I didn't, you know, shit's harder, was harder. And because of my experience now, I can see where things are harder for my kids and I can try and combat that with anything, with it's okay, or steer them away from it when the things that they're going to deal with and the mistakes that they're going to make and stuff like that are going to help them become better human beings. And you have to let them make mistakes and you have to let them learn to pick themselves up. And what Elliot's doing is not helping this young lady become a better doctor, She's making it so this young lady is now going to hide or can hide or doesn't have to take full responsibility for her fuck ups. And she's protecting her. There's no way, you know, and to Elliot's credit, she doesn't have kids. You know what I mean? And maybe if she does, if she did, she could see in that situation how she's failing her. Denise, that is, how she's failing Denise. And that's really what Cox is saying. Cox doesn't give a shit if the girl's feelings are hurt. That's not what the fuck it is. It's about, no, accountability must be had. And you protecting her is not going to help.
Yeah. And also, she'll do it again if she didn't learn, because she almost fucking killed somebody.
Yeah.
Gooch and Ted are moving in together, but the janitor says no. He says it's not allowed. He's like a cult leader, this janitor.
Well, who the fuck does he think he is that he can tell somebody that?
He thinks he's the leader of the Man Trust.
I think this is where it comes. If this happens, change starts. And change begets change begets change begets change.
Yeah, that's why he doesn't want change. So he's like, no, no moving in. There's too much changing. Jimmy, the overly touchy, orderly, massaging Todd was hilarious.
Yes.
And
when
then
he grabs him and he goes, oh.
and then he makes them cover their ears so they can't hear. And then they find a way to massage each other with their hands over their ears.
Yeah, with their elbows and stuff.
And the janitor's like, you know,
we didn't talk about Todd's three-way that he has going.
1 second. I just got to say, the janitor's like, you know, sometimes you think you're an odd dude. And then you see something like this. And they cut to them massaging each other with their hands over their ears. Taryn Kelly.
We didn't talk about Todd's three-way that he has going on.
He's seeing the Hendersons actively.
Actively.
They're a throuple.
They are a real throuple. Or a cuckold.
They're a throuple.
A throuple.
It seems like he's not as engaged as she is, though.
He's dating a couple, so the two of them are like actively together, and then he's like dating them. I think they're both involved.
No, they're both involved. You can see Todd didn't make out with the guy, but you see him grabbing his arms and stuff.
At the end, he grabs him.
They're all banging. I think Todd just didn't want to make out with the guy on set. I think he made out with the woman, but he was grabbing the other guy's arms like, come on, let's go bang in the other room.
Or come watch me bang.
No, I think my sense is that he's bi, we know he's into everything. Mm-hmm. And they're all going to get down.
What is that called? What is that called when you're into everything?
Pansexual, right?
Joelle?
Pansexual, fluid? Correct.
What is it?
Fluid is not also fluid? A fine term. Pansexual, fluid.
Pansexual. Okay. Todd is definitely pansexual. 100%. He's as pansexual as it gets.
I don't think it gets any more pansexual.
Yeah, he's full pan.
To Todd. He's full pan.
Yeah. He pans so far around, he pans 360.
Very well done with your wordplay, Zach Braff.
Thank you. That'd be a good t-shirt for any of your pan friends in the film industry, Joel.
I love it.
You have an image of a rainbow and a camera panning, and you go, I pan so far, I pan 360.
Wow.
Ooh,
anyone who makes that shirt, make it on Etsy, I'll buy one. Going on. As chief, so Turk and JD get into a fight because Turk starts making executive decisions because he's got a higher rank at the hospital than JD.
Into a fight because they're going to miss each other.
Right. It's like a couple spat.
They're fighting because they're sad.
Turk agrees to... Turk decides to operate on Mrs. Galen, and that's not what he and JD decided, and JD's pissed. And Carla acts like she wants to have sex with Turk, and when they go in the break room, JD and Elliot are already about to hook up. JD's pants are at his ankles. Mm-hmm. And we realize it was all a ruse from Elliot and Carla to get JD and Turk to talk.
But here's the thing, and this is very realistic. A couple that's not married is like, I got carried away. The couple that is married is like, I didn't get carried away at all. Yeah. I was just getting you in the room.
Yeah, Carla is not feeling it.
She's felt it enough.
Yeah, she's felt it enough. She's tired. She's got a baby. She's got a job.
She's got babies. She's got, right.
She's currently pregnant.
Right. Yeah. She's right.
Yeah. That's where we have the fantasy where that we're running the hospital, which is when the janitor's in a cage and he's we're eating chocolate pudding and it's only for us.
Right. Carla really comes pudding. The fact that we're running the hospital, but we still make Carla the nurse at the hospital, like she should be in a suit also. Like she should have been the head of whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like we got her with the rest of the girls with her titties out. We yeah. got, well, you know what I mean? Well, like
Turk's in love. He still like, wants.
When I looked at that, I was like, damn, Turk, you didn't even just say, baby, you can have a position too while no. we run this thing also. No, you got to be well, with I your titties it. Out too.
I saw it as Turk is so in love with Carla that like, even though there's other models around, he wants her as the front and center model in his world.
Right on. Respect. Respect.
That was pretty great.
Respect. Respect.
That was funny.
Because as I'm saying is Joelle was like, yeah, what the fuck? I'm going to be honest with you. That scene was a little cringe for me. I was sitting there like, wow, I don't think we could get away with this right now. I don't think this type of thinking is correct for the workplace. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's
I don't know. It wasn't that far. It was like two guys fantasizing that that everyone that worked there was a beautiful model. I don't think it was like too extreme.
Okay.
Joelle?
No, I don't think it's too extreme. I do think that the show would call them out for it in a different way now.
Yeah. The show would comment on it. Like, really, are you guys that fucking obsessed with boobies?
Instead, they knocked pudding on the floor and made the janitor come out and eat it with his hands.
Yeah. He's a caged animal. He has a chain around his neck.
Yeah, yeah. And he wants to eat.
I thought he was going to eat that pudding off. I thought he was going to eat the pudding off that gross carpet for a second.
As you're looking at it, you can see the dirt and dinge and nastiness on it.
I know. And I was like, as a director, I was like, did we lay down fake carpet for this scene? Because that pudding's going to stain the fuck out of gross carpet.
No, we probably left that shit there.
Yeah. I don't know. And then I was like, oh my God. I was still this many years later like, oh, Neil, please don't eat that fucking pudding off that gross carpet. Like the things that carpet has seen.
The janitor's so far gone that he wants to eat the leg of a model.
Yeah, why is he trying to eat her leg? Oh, because he's hungry?
Yes.
Because he hasn't, eat. We won't let him eat.
Yeah. Eat. He comes out, he's like, eat, and we're like, no, clean. It's fucked all right, up, and then, yo.
So and wild. Then we get to, I mean, I got goosebumps at the end when, as
the
I said.
The death stare?
When I say goodnight to Cox on the ramp and he just looks at me, I don't know, I got full body chills. I thought it was so moving.
That's when I realized right there, this motherfucker has been abandoned so many times and here we go again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the look is, I'm still fucking here.
The look could also be, I've been abandoned so many times and that's why I kept you at a distance. But I still trained you. You were still like a son to me. And I did my best to be vulnerable. And now you're leaving too.
Can we also talk about JD's reaction? Because there's a time that would have killed him. You know what I mean? There's a time where he had to go fix it immediately. And there's so much growth in his character of being like, oh, well, if you're angry, dude, just be over angry over there.
Yeah. That's a good point, Joelle. The evolution of JD. Although we're going to learn in the finale that, as I recall, he finally gets a hug and it's like everything he ever wanted. And there's that sweet song.
I like both
Winter
songs.
Winter Song by Sarah Bareilles.
Well, there's Sarah Winter Song by Sarah Bareilles. That's such a beautiful song.
And Ingrid Michaelson. Sarah Bareilles and Ingrid Michaelson sing that song together, don't they?
Oh, you're right. You're right. It's Sarah Bareilles and Ingrid Michaelson in a duet singing Winter Song. But then there's the Kate Miguchi song with the ukulele that's so sweet. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the episode, gang. I'm sad it's over, guys.
Yeah, you know.
Hey now. Hey now.
Don't dream it's over.
Hey now.
Yeah, I hate that it's coming to an end. And I feel I am now a fan of the show because we've had to watch every episode. You know what I mean?
Donald's finally seen the show Scrubs, guys, and he likes it.
Where I have never. You know what I mean? This is, and so because of it, I mean, it is very emotional. It's very, I mean, I don't know how I'm going to react to it in the next episode, but it definitely, while watching this, I was like, I don't want this to end. This is like, you know what I mean?
What a crazy exercise we've undertaken to
watch
this.
But even the
this.
Exercise itself has to come to an end now. Like, that's what I'm, everything, you know, like. We're going into something completely different, Zach. We're going to watch the show now, and it's not the show anymore. It's some different imagination of what the show is going to be. Right. You know what I mean?
And if we do make a reboot, we should chronicle putting the reboot together on this podcast.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That'd be fun. Yeah. Well, I want to thank Joelle and Dale. Not that it's over. Obviously, the podcast will continue, but I want to thank you for being a part of this. It's been so, gosh, we started the beginning of the pandemic in, what, March of 2020?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Almost crazy, 4 years.
That's
Isn't
nuts.
That crazy how long we've been doing
this? That is crazy. 4 years. Wow.
It's been a fun ride, though.
So thank you, everyone, for sticking with us and for being a part of this. And thank you.
Still got one more.
I know, yeah. I'm just emotional. Thank you, and don't hesitate to tell us when you see us that you listen, because it always makes me feel good, especially when people say that it makes them smile. That's all we're trying to do.
We got to do something special for the last episode.
Maybe you should do a rap for the finale. Can you do that?
I've been working on it.
Oh.
He pulls
the pad out of nowhere.
He's ready.
Pulls the pad out, guys.
I've been working on it. We like
a professional rapper. He pulled a pad out.
Wow. We're working.
Okay.
And putting it out there, just working it.
All right, we love you guys, and more next week. Count us out, Tom.
5, 6, 7, 8
stories about a show we made, about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's a story.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, it's simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. You can learn more at betterhelp.com. That's betterhelp.com.
Hey guys, I've been telling you about how we are big fans of Tecovas boots. Heritage, tradition, quality, comfort, style, and service are some of the best features of Tecovas. But now they also have a gift for our listeners.
Tecovas will throw in one of their best-selling trucker hats or ball caps free with a minimum purchase of $100 at tecovas.com.
Just use code REALFRIENDS at checkout. That's REALFRIENDS.
That's TECOVAS.com. And point your toes west.